Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Shane's teams get ready to report around the NFL. Some are already in camp, obviously. But by the end of this week, everyone will be in camp. We cast our eyes to Seattle, where Jaron Reed was suspended for six games, basically dating back to an assault concern in 2017, for which he was neither arrested or charged for a crime with, but the NFL saw fit to suspend him for six games. Am I missing something somewhere along the line? Or do we have two ends of the extreme with Tyreek Hill and Jaron Reed that I'm not understanding the gray area in between?
Well, first of all, that was a landmine that the Chiefs and Chiefs fans avoided. The fact that Tyreek Hill didn't get any games and Jaron Reed got six. I got to believe that the things that the NFL were looking for as far as cooperation with the Hill case that they didn't get, they got with the Reed case. That'd be my guess, that that Reed's significant other, I'm just guessing here, cooperated in such a way that the even though there was no charges or arrest, where there was smoke, there was enough fire that the NFL handed down a six-game suspension. The Seahawks said in a statement that they have followed league and law enforcement protocol since the alleged incident in April of 2017. Reed himself totally disagreed with the ruling, but did kind of do the right thing after the fact, and that he wrote a statement that it apologized and, you know, just said what he was supposed to say, even though he vehemently disagreed. And this is a team also, ironically, that now will be missing yet another pass rusher because Frank Clark was traded to Kansas City, and he had issues with a run-in with the law because of domestic disputes. But that went all the way back to his college days in Michigan when he was kicked off the team after domestic violence, being arrested for that in college. So it's kind of ironic that the Seahawks are getting victimized, I was going to say, and that's a very poor choice of words. But they're missing two of their biggest pass rushers, one because of a trade, one because of, you know, the NFL coming down pretty harshly, even though there was no charge or arrest, but because of the personal conduct policy allows the league to punish players regardless of legal outcomes. And yet Tyreek Hill and the Chiefs dodged a bullet here.
Yeah, the fundamental difference in the two cases, it appears on the surface anyway, is that in the Tyreek Hill situation, the NFL got no cooperation from Tyreek Hill's significant other. In other words, they weren't able to interview her even once. They were they were kept from doing that. But anyway, so it goes. And here's it's just interesting that you have two cases that are at very different ends of the spectrum in terms of outcome. Damien continues as we roll out the Twin Peaks Scenic Views hotline. Nice to have you with us, Damien.
Oh, thank you, guys. How are you doing today?
Good,
excellent. So I just had a question. So you know, like Chris Jones, he's wanting the contract extension. I honestly, in my opinion, I think he needs to, like, play out this season. just to see if he can reproduce those same stats, just because two seasons before that, he only had like 6.5 sacks, something like that. What do you guys think on that?
Well, it's funny you bring up Frank Clark, because that will certainly help. Statistically speaking, you would hope. He's got 35 sacks, 9 forced fumbles or whatever in his pretty brief career. Chris Jones, I don't know. I mean, they let go of Dee Ford because of what was perceived to being a flash in the pan, right?
Right.
Now they're.
You know what I like about Chris Jones is that he pressures from the middle. And offenses now have evolved enough in the NFL that they do a good job with max protect on the edges, much more so than they used to, because you've got these freakish, you know, Khalil Mack, Von Miller types that just are unbelievable athletes. And that you've got to account for. When you can push a pocket and beat a pocket up the middle, that makes you an even more valuable player. And Chris Jones does a good job of that, I think.
When you get to the quarterback like he did last year, you just can't assume that he's going to regress to the mean. You got to bank on those guys. You got to bank on pass rushers. And 15 and a half sacks.
I like him a ton.
15 and a half sacks is hard to argue with.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is what it is. And, sacks are – here's what sacks are. They can be a little misleading because you can trip a guy, you know, at the end of a play. You can have non-consequential sacks, and so the measurement of them can be skewed a little bit. I mean, there are different kinds of sacks. But – when you're around the quarterback as much as you have to be to get 15 and a half sacks, that's the best part of it. That's the best measurement.
And maybe pressures are not as important, but pretty close. I mean, if you can get a quarterback pressure, then you're at least kind of doing your job. And I don't claim to be a 3-4 versus 4-3 guru, but switching schemes, you know, may suit Chris Jones even better. I don't know.
Yeah, you would think.
Or Frank Clark. And there's a reason why they gave Frank Clark $63.5 million guaranteed and didn't give it to, you know, guys that they either gave up on, let go, or traded. So we'll see. But when you have 15 and a half sacks, you're taking a real gamble by – you know, not locking those guys up, or you see something that you feel like is fool's gold a little bit, you know, with Dee Ford. I don't want to compare the two because they're different types of players. But, yeah, getting to the quarterback is the name of the game on the defensive line. But to your point, if you can do it from up the middle, all the better.
It's huge.
All the better.
Anything you can do to collapse the pocket is outstanding. But if you can do it from the front, that's where you want to do it. Push it right back at them. Great stuff.
All right. Speaking of the Chiefs, quarterbacks and rookies report today. Patrick Mahomes, of course, after his 50 touchdown season a year ago, is one of only six of the previous quarterbacks to throw 45 touchdown passes in a season. Even got to 40 the next year. And Drew Brees is the only guy among Aaron Rodgers, Brees, Dan Marino, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and Peyton Manning another time. And so Mahomes that'll be not necessarily a target, but it'll be interesting to see if he can get to that and join Brees in that category. But with all the next-gen stats that we have at our disposal now, it's interesting to find out that last season, there were 38 different quarterbacks to throw at least 150 passes in the NFL, but only two of those quarterbacks found their average target more open than Patrick Mahomes. Isn't that something? So, in other words, his guys were more open than anybody but one other quarterback in the NFL. and didn't have to squeeze passes into the quote-unquote tight window. There's another sports phrase for you, or catchphrase.
Yes,
tight
it is.
Windows. His guys had bigger target separation than almost everybody. He threw to an open receiver 49.3% of the time last
year. Well, look
year.
At the guys you're throwing to.
Well, I get And the first guy you think of is Tyreek Hill, of course.
Yeah, and then the second is Travis Kelce,
who's
a totally different kind of tight end with his mobility and his quickness and things that he does. So you've got two guys that are really kind of that are outside the norm of the position structure in the first place. Tyreek Hill can separate just on speed alone, and he's gotten to be a better route runner. And then Travis Kelce is unlike a lot of just about any other tight end in the
well,
league.
Well, he is now. Now that Gronk's gone,
now he is.
He is different than anybody else.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. I mean, he's different. So, I mean, you're already starting, and on top of it, you get a tight end who is generally being covered by either a hybrid safety slash linebacker or a linebacker, depending on what kind of package you're in. If you're in a nickel, then you're getting a hybrid. If not, you're getting an inside linebacker, and it creates mismatches. The NFL is a league of mismatches. It's all about creating mismatches, getting a running back on a linebacker, getting a tight end on a linebacker down the field, when you've got a guy like Travis Kelce who can run.
So, if Tyreek Hill plays all 16 games and nothing further comes out about the domestic dispute investigation and Travis Kelce is healthy, is it fair to say, one, that Mahomes will continue to be throwing to open receivers? I think it's fair to assume, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay,
absolutely.
Number two, because he has now had a full season under his belt, and he only had to throw into tight windows 12% of the time last year, is it fair to assume that Patrick Mahomes can get even better?
This is where I will take a little bit of a wait and see, only because books have been written now. And you know how it is. I mean, it's like hitters facing the same pitcher the third time in the game instead of the first. You gain a little understanding. You gain a little knowledge. Okay, that may not be a great analogy because the guy's thrown 85 or 90 pitches maybe the third time you get around. But there's more of a book now because there's more film that's been looked at on Patrick Mahomes. One of the things the Chiefs do that's really impressive is they do so much work at the line of scrimmage. They flex, they move guys, they send guys from one end of the field to the other in motion. They do a lot of things to help create space and facilitate those guys before the play even starts. But yeah, I would say that I'll be interested to see what teams do, particularly in the division, to counteract the Mahomes effect. Mm-hmm. But I think, I would say at the very least expect what he did a year ago. I mean, how much more improvement can he make? I mean, what are you going to get? You're going to get to 55 or 60 touchdowns?
No. I mean, you always hope that guys can work on their accuracy. Not that he was inaccurate, but I'm nitpicking here.
I mean, the biggest thing that I'm curious about in the AFC West, what are teams going to do to get him out of his comfort zone? The first thing you got to do is figure out what his comfort zone is. I'm not sure the teams even know that yet.
Yep.
He creates so much on the move. Anyway, Cindio Twitter question coming up next, courtesy of Cindio HRO, your HR experts in Wichita. We're back in just a moment. Shane and Bruce with you this morning. Sports Daily on a Tuesday, right here on your sports station, KFH.
This is T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.